altitude's undefeated.
Crap, maybe we'll punch it up, whatever it was in.
Not a huge time on it,
I don't know where I was going. I looked like I was running and started to talk to someone. I don't know what I was doing.
I tell you what, Matt, we don't get much by you, that's for sure. From you and analysis in your car, in your home. Thank you for tuning to Holding the High Line.
Hello, Rapids fans. You are listening to Holding the High Line. My name is Matt Pollard. It is the evening of Thursday, July 27th, 2023. It's almost 11 p.m. Mountain Time, folks. I'm coming to you after the second match in Group G in Leagues Cup, in which Toluca defeated Nashville SC in Nashville by a score of 4-3. Rabbi and I intentionally wanted to record after that match this week so that we had the information on that game and ultimately knew what scenarios were needed for the Rapids to advance from the group for the upcoming game on Monday when they host Toluca at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. And Rabbi wasn't feeling well, and I knew since the game was at, 6:30 Mountain Time, it wasn't going to be done until 8:30, possibly 9, if it went to penalties or something like that. And then at that point, we're starting the podcast well after Rabbi's bedtime. So I decided to give him the night off. So it's going to be just me tonight. It's going to be short but weird. But as Bray said on Twitter earlier this evening, he wanted Holding the High Line to inject Rapids content into his veins. So Bray, this episode's for you if it is for no one else. I want to briefly touch on the Women's World Cup. I have watched both of the U.S. women's games live so far. I have not watched much else of the tournament live. I've seen plenty of goal highlights, and I'm keeping up generally with the groups. It looks like Australia's in trouble, and Sam Kerr possibly isn't even going to play as one of the hosts goes down in the group. But I think the Colorado girls have been absolutely fantastic. Sophia Smith with 2 goals in that first game against Vietnam, and then the assist to set up Lindsay Rand, co-captain, for the 3rd goal. I thought if the U.S. was a little bit sharper out the gates and if Vietnam's goalie wasn't as good, it probably should have been 4-5-0 to the U.S., but in any case, job done. And then kind of a frustrating, good barometer, good heat check for them against the Netherlands the other night, in which I thought the Dutch ladies came out really good in the first half, and I thought they were a bad matchup for the U.S. in terms of how they pressed and what they did with and without the ball in ways that I'm not sure any other team in this competition outside of England or probably Germany would be able to do against the United States, and the U.S. had to adjust. I thought they were fantastic in the second half. I thought they were slightly the better team, but 1-1 was probably a fair result, and then obviously a fantastic moment for Lindsay Horan when she has that little tussle with her teammate, Danielle Van de Donk. Let me look up to make sure with her Dutch last name that I'm pronouncing that correctly, because that's something that I do now. Yes, Van de Donk. Danielle Van de Donk, who is her teammate at Lyon, where they have a little bit of a dust-up on a hard tackle that didn't even get called a foul, and then they're chirping and shoving each other before a corner, and then as John Babiak wrote for his gamer for Burgundy Wave, there is an incident where Julie Ertz gets involved and tells Horan, who is on a yellow card, not to get a yellow card, just score a goal and shut everybody up, and that's what happened, and hopefully the second half, there was a lot of things that were clicking for the United States that they carry over against Portugal, and they get a win in that game and hopefully are able to win the group on goal difference. I've not been super impressed with what Trini Rodman's done. She's movement's great and everything, but finishing hasn't necessarily been there. And I think there are some concerns about what the USWNT's midfield is going to look like as long as Rose Lavelle isn't able to start. Bit of a work in progress, but the U.S. women have time. I trust Vlaka Andonovski. They've got at least 2 games before I think there's a real serious threat of them playing a team that they need to be ready for. And obviously from a Colorado, from an HTHL perspective, absolutely fantastic that all four of the goals so far in this competition have come from the two girls from Colorado, in Sophia Smith and in Lindsay Horan. In 180 minutes at the Women's World Cup, more native Coloradans have scored goals for the U.S. Women's National Team than any Rapids player has in combined competitions so far this season, unfortunately. Messi also has as many goals in, like, you know, in a substitute appearance and in the first half for Inter Miami as any Rapids player other than Kevin Cabral. I think both of them are sitting on three, but once you count total goal contributions with all the assists, Messi is here, folks, and he's absolutely going to wreck League Cup. And I really hope that MLS doesn't schedule the Rapids at Miami next season so that they can just get absolutely dunked on by Inter Miami, who are now the new super club in Messi League soccer. But let's get to the PIDS news of the day, folks. I will not spend a whole lot of time on this. I was traveling over the weekend. I was in Philadelphia to see the Fulham as part of the Premier League Summer Series. So I did catch the highlights of the game against Nashville and then went to go watch it back. And I think, unfortunately, it was eerily similar to so many other Rapids games that we've seen, to where I don't need to give you the full rundown of everything. Let me just look at the lineup to make sure there wasn't anything significant that I missed in there. I did tweet before the game that I thought this would have been my preferred lineup. I think maybe the one exception would have been, from a long-term standpoint, would be Moise Bombito in for Danny Wilson. I do think the Rapids have been better in the back four since the acquisition of Andrew Gutman, which is fantastic. And I think I would personally start playing Ralph Priso a little bit more. I know there's been some criticism and some hate towards him this season and even going back to last year, but I think you have to start looking at the future. And with Brian Acosta on a being him out of contract or having a team option, I can't remember which, for 2024, I think his future with the club at his salary and age is a valid question. Obviously, Danny Leyva, there's no news about whether or not he could potentially have his loan end early, but in any case, there's no option to buy there. I think the Rapids need to start investing in players that they know for a fact are going to be here next season. Ralph Priso, for me, is one of those players. And then my statement on that lineup is obviously contingent on Rafael Navajo, who is not available for this match against Nashville. If I'm looking at his social media, folks, as a barometer for his availability or when he could be in, he's been a little bit quieter on his Instagram story in the last 48 hours relative to prior. He did recently go to his barber and get a new hairstyle as well. He could be just less busy on Instagram, or that could be an indication that he is trying to sleep on an airplane that is traveling internationally and going on continents. I'm sure, I have to believe, had he arrived today during the day, that the Rapid social media team would have posted something about it. So as of Thursday, I feel confident in saying he has not yet or is about to touch down within the United States, and he certainly has not trained with the first team. If I'm looking at that, assuming he's not on a plane right now at time of recording, I feel pretty confident that he's not going to be with the team and recovering from jet lag in time to really contribute to a training session on Friday. Or I do believe, let me check this schedule now. I believe the Rapids are off. Yes, the Rapids are off Friday the 28th. They do have a training session both on Saturday and on Sunday. I'm hoping to go to at least one of those. Very rarely, listeners, do you have where over the course of a weekend you've got two training days and no game days for an MLS team at this time of the year. So possibly Rafael will have had two training sessions with the Rapids. I think at this point, given the fact that he's traveling, there's going to be jet lag. Obviously, he'll have been at altitude for less than 3 days probably by the time the Toluca game has to kick off. I think it's highly doubtful that that he'd be prepared enough to where Robin Fraser would feel comfortable starting him in that game against Toluca. If secretly he's about to land or has already landed at DIA and is going to briefly jog out and do some fitness stuff for the club on Friday, then I think he could be a play off the bench, but I think that's about it. But I digress. Let's get back to the Nashville game. I thought the Rapids were decent in both boxes, and then ultimately just kind of a really similar plot where they get into the final third and are lacking ideas, and then some fortuitous opportunities lead to Nashville being able to get goals. Darren Yappe had a really good opportunity. He missed that. Cole Bassett became Pole Bassett in stoppage time when it was after it was 2-1, where they got a set piece opportunity, and Cole goes straight for goal. Really, really well bent ball, and if it's 2 or 3 inches bending further to Cole's left, then I think we're probably talking about a 2-2 draw right now. But unfortunately, that is the way the cookie has crumbled for the Colorado Rapids in 2023. Both teams with a bit of a fortuitous bounce on deflected goals. First, Kevin Cabral technically getting the goal that was set up, and most of the work done by Andrew Gutman in the 80th minute. That would have been Andrew Gutman's first goal for the Colorado Rapids, but it ends up being Kevin Cabral's third. Now technically tied, I believe, with Gutman in terms of goals in all competitions this season for the Rapids. Obviously, Gutman's 3 goals are for Atlanta United, and Kevin's 3 goals are obviously for the Rapids. But that was a little bit too late because you had Hani Mukhtar coming in, I believe, off the bench. Yes, Hani Mukhtar comes in off the bench and then gets a goal in the 57th minute after a defensive breakdown in the final third. And then that shot ultimately goes off of Danny Wilson with William Yarbrough diving the right way and in. Was Hani picking out the far corner, and was Will going to get to that is a question we'll never know the answer to, and it doesn't really matter. And then Jacob Sackfulberg, who was fantastic for Canada in the Gold Cup, comes on and ultimately scores the winner in the 65th minute. And ultimately, a eerily similar quote from Robin Fraser, opening statement from Robin Fraser post-game, I think once again just summed up how this game was so similar to like 10 other games for the Rapids this season, and made it extremely disappointing and also very predictable. So here's the quote right here from Robin Fraser, his opening statement. Quote, "Difficult one to swallow. Felt like we had a lot of control in the first half, but we had taken some of the control and been a little bit, had we taken some of the control and been a little bit sharper in the box, maybe it would have been different, but that's the way it goes. 15-minute letdown in the second half. We let up 2 goals, give up 2 goals. Really proud of the resiliency to come back so close to equalizing. But overall, if we look at some of the good possession we had, we are definitely disappointed that we didn't get more out of the game." Broken record, unfortunately, for Robin Fraser. I don't know that he has much else. I feel bad for him in that he keeps saying the same thing, but this is, I think you could say that, you could literally cut and paste that entire statement, since he doesn't directly quote the opponent, and I could have said that to you after 10 games, and you couldn't tell the difference between that I pulled it from a different game. That is how predictable and how disappointing and repetitive the Colorado Rapids are, unfortunately, right now. And as a result, that put the Rapids behind the 8-ball when it comes to League's Cup. So let's get to the game that happened tonight, listeners. As I mentioned, it was a 4-3 win for Toluca, and really an absolutely wild match. You had Nashville taking the lead a couple times. There was a penalty call on, not Daniel Lovitz, I can't remember which Nashville player had the penalty called against them. Or no, I believe it was Alex Mule. And ultimately a 4-3 win for Toluca. And the that third goal coming from the goalkeeper, actually, Thiago Volpi. And then ultimately the winner coming from Morales. But you had Marco Ruiz. What is Ruiz's, what is his first name here on MLS? Marcel Ruiz with the first 2 goals in this game. There was an injury in this game for Toluca that could be a little bit of a concern. In the first half, there was a non-contact injury, and who was it? And it was Mora, who went down, and he was stretchered off and looked pretty bad. Mora plays at he's listed as a left center back in a back 3 for Toluca. He was in a pretty advanced position at the time of the injury. Maybe the MLS press box formation they have for the Liga MX teams is a little bit off. But in any case, there's an injury for Toluca. But for a team that I consider mid in Liga MX, who came in, was in their first official game of competition, this season and came in and played really, really well. At times made Nashville look silly, absolutely dominated on XG. I think it was 1-1 or 2-2 at halftime. Or no, it was 3-2 at halftime, but I think before the penalty or maybe after the penalty, I think Toluca had like 2.5 XG and Nashville had like 0.5 as well. So you look at how good we consider Nashville in an MLS context. You look at how good we consider Nashville at home. You look at the players they have like Hany Mukhtar, like Walker Zimmerman, who both started in this game, and what they were able to do against the Rapids, even when they didn't play particularly well, even though, and especially with Hany Mukhtar not starting against the Rapids, how they were still able to see out the result and clearly be the team that should have won the game. And then you look at how Toluca at times dominated them in a game that was built on transition for both teams, really. And ultimately, Toluca scored 4 goals on them. By the transitive property, the Rapids go in, lose 2-1, have a lot of frustrating sequences for them against Nashville. Toluca comes in, scores a bunch of goals. Toluca is a much better team than is a better team than Nashville. And there's a gap there. And then considering the gap that we would consider to be there between the Rapids and Nashville does not bode well for Monday. There's a bunch of scenarios here, folks, that happen when you have a group of three and teams playing in a round robin and two teams out of three getting out of the group that come in that affect ways in which teams could advance. So I'm going to run this down for you and hopefully it's simple. So the Rapids still have a chance, listeners, to qualify and can potentially even win the group on Monday. So I'll make this simple for you. If the Rapids get a multi-goal win, they win by 2 goals or more, regardless of the scoreline or anything else, they win the group. They win Group G outright on goal difference. And then also, if they get a 1-goal win where the scoreline is 5-4 or greater, then the Rapids would also advance. They would finish second on goal difference. So if we have a absolute banger, crazy 8-7 game on Monday and probably the best game ever to take place at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, the Rapids can actually win the group. Should the game go to penalties, regardless of who wins in penalties, the Rapids are already eliminated at that point. If the Rapids lose to Toluca in 90 minutes, they are already eliminated. At the blow for the whistle, at full time, the Rapids need to have more goals, need to have gotten 3 points against Toluca. Any other scenario, and the Rapids automatically finish third in the group, no matter what. So, I mentioned what happens where if the Rapids win by 5-4 on a win by 1 goal, and the scoreline is 5-4 or greater in terms of the number of goals scored, then the Rapids will finish second in the group on the goal scored tiebreaker with the Nashville. Anything that is 3-2 or less and a 1-goal game, the Rapids are eliminated. They lose the goal score tiebreaker with Nashville. So if it's 1-0, Rapids eliminated. 2-1, Rapids eliminated. 3-2, Rapids eliminated. Rapids win 5-4, they advance. Where we get to 4-3 is where things get weird. You might remember that one time every 4 years during the World Cup where two or three teams, or potentially all four teams, are tied in the World Cup going into the final match day, and they go down the breakthrough of all the various tiebreakers, and eventually the highly improbable fair play points tiebreaker comes up. If the Rapids win on Monday and the scoreline is 4-3, then Colorado and Nashville will be tied on points, 3 points. In the round robin, it'll be even because every team will have 1 win and 1 loss. And then Colorado and Nashville will be tied on goal difference, neutral, and will have the same number of goals scored and goals conceded, 5 each. At that point, we head to fair play points. How do fair play points work? So you get 1 point, or no, this is, in this situation, listeners, you want fewer points. So -1 point for a first yellow card, for a second yellow card, an indirect red card, you get 3 points. A direct red card, straight red card, you get 3 points as well. And then I should say for that second yellow card, the first yellow card is not considered in that regard. So effectively two yellows should be 4 points, if I'm reading this correctly from the PDF document they have on the MLS press box site. And then for a yellow card followed by a direct red card is 4 points. Maybe I'm misreading that. Maybe it's just Maybe if you get an indirect red card, maybe the first yellow card gets limited. In any case, Nashville has a lot of fair play points to be had. They had one yellow card in the game against Colorado. Colorado did not receive any booking in that game. And then Nashville got four first yellow cards against Toluca. And then they also got a second yellow card. Teal Bunbury will not play on Monday. He got two yellow cards in that game as well. So depending on how I'm reading this, I think Nashville either has 8 points or 7 points, depending on how you read the second yellow card. 3 points, the first yellow card will not be considered. I think it's seven. In which case, unless the Rapids absolutely lose their heads and get a bunch of yellow cards and Brian Galvan gets a rage quit red card, or they get absolutely Baldomero toledled by the referee, then the Rapids should comfortably have fewer financial fair play points than Nashville and be able to advance. If by some reason, somehow, the Rapids win 4-3 on Monday and then finish with the same number of financial fair play points as Nashville does, the next tiebreaker, I kid you not, dear listeners, is the winner will be chosen in a draw organized by the organizing committee, end quote. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if it's there's balls in like the ping pong thing like they have for the lottery pick for the NHL and the NBA draft. I do not know if this would be the random closed envelopes we saw that determined MLS rights for Jermaine Jones back in the day that had him go to New England as opposed to Chicago Fire. I don't know if a random CONCACAF exec shows up in a suit and we don't know who this person is and they flip a coin and Gary Smith calls heads or tails in the air. I have no idea what that looks like, but it would be so fitting for the 2023 Rapids to do all of that work, somehow beat Toluca 4-3, get a bunch of yellow cards that are completely harsh because the ref absolutely loses the plot and CONCACAF, finish with the same number of financial fair play points, and then for them to lose on the random draw and have Nashville finish second. Is all of this ultimately moot? Probably, because I think the reality is, listeners, I think the best that you can hope for is Toluca rotates the squad knowing they have control of the game. You know, Toluca comes in, listeners, and they get a draw, and no matter what happens in penalties, they automatically win the group. Nashville only has 3 points. They only have 3 points. They get any result and then also best of the Rapids result in this game, and they advance. So they have to come in. They come in thinking we get a 0-0 or a 1-1. We win the group, and then after that, you know, who cares? I was talking to someone on Twitter beforehand where they were under the impression this was the worst result possible. And I think what actually would have been worse would have been had Nashville won the game in penalties, or no, had Nashville lost the game in penalties, because then Nashville would have gotten a point for taking it to penalties, at which point the Rapids couldn't overcome them. And then Toluca would have had 2 points on the board, but would have come into Monday knowing that if they lose in 90 minutes, they are eliminated, at which point then they have to play for a result. Whereas here, there's a number of scenarios, listeners, where Toluca loses on Monday and still finishes top of the group. How much are they going to manage that? How much are they going to rotate the squad? Do they play a bunch of young kids who are trying to get something? Does it really even matter that much given how good Toluca looked against Nashville and given how bad the given how much better Nashville looked than Colorado and the fact that Toluca plays at altitude when it comes to their league games, so altitude is something they are familiar with, and the Rapids maybe don't have Rafael Navajo, and even then are the Rapids could outplay Toluca between both boxes, huff and puff, not be able to do anything against Toluca's back line, and then Toluca just has quality, whether it's in their goalkeeper taking penalties, whether it's in Morales, whether it's in Ruiz, who got a first half brace in this game and looked really, really good from a midfield possession. Morales scored his goal, and he's a striker up top for them as well. Does it even matter? Because, you know, Toluca could have fewer number of opportunities and then be able to finish on those way better than the plethora of opportunities that a Darren Yapi, a Calvin Harris, Andreas Maxu on corners, direct free kick for Cole Bassett, Kevin Cabral or Rafael Navajo are going to get off the bench. I do not see the Rapids winning this game. I think at best you're looking at them being outplayed and getting lucky to have it go to penalties. And at that point, penalties are a coin flip. But William Yarbrough only has one penalty save in his entire MLS career. And it was last year, I believe, in that really bad take by Christian Benteke at Audi Field. So was that more of a, yes, it was a save, Yes, he made the save, but I think that was more a function of a bad take by the penalty kick taker rather than Yarbrough guessing right or making a really good save or being acrobatic in the air. Not trying to take a shot at Yarby here, but we have ample data. I think that's in either 12, 13, or 14 penalties. It's definitely more than 10, folks. And so if you look at the XG and MLS, I think it's like 0.78, 0.79 expected goals that they have for a penalty. Yarbrough has faced more than 10 penalties and has saved fewer than two. So he is, in that regard, based on that XG measurement from MLS, he is below average in penalty saving relative to other MLS goalkeepers. That does not give me a lot of confidence going into penalties. I guess if nothing else, it would be a good exercise for Woldy Harris to give some guys an opportunity to take a pen who we have not seen before, given that Diego Rubio has still been injured for the Rapids, and then even then, his last penalty was a miss against Vancouver. And then you had Connor Ronan make one and miss one for Colorado, and then Brian Galvan, who had that fantastic Panenka against FC Dallas to get the first home win of the season. Does Galvan have another audacious take that is well executed? Could Darren Yapi or Cole Bassett get off the snide in terms of their goal scoring form to score a winning penalty, albeit in ultimately in defeat, ultimately in elimination, but something that's a feel-good moment for them? Maybe a Calvin Harris. Andrew Gutman looked dangerous. I don't know. Is he good at penalties? Something like that. Or potentially at that point in the game, do you sub on Rafael Navajo with a minute or two to go in garbage time for the exercise of him taking a penalty, given that he may not be able to have as much impact in the game, given where his fitness will be at to start or sub on and play more minutes than a couple of minutes? All good questions, but ultimately are going to be irrelevant in the context of Leagues Cup, because if we do go to penalties at that point, the Rapids are eliminated and Toluca will have won the group. But as I mentioned, I think that's the best case scenario. The Rapids get to penalties and then lucky bounces or fortuitous finishing that helps them win the game in penalties. I think the most likely result that you have for Monday is Toluca winning and seeing out the result from a positive position on the scoreboard. So that's how I feel about that. Let's see. Is there anything else that I haven't covered in there? I think that's probably it. Talked about League Cup, talked about the women's national team, talked about what could be going on with Rafael Navajo as well. Oh, there's been, by the time we podcast listeners, there will only be a couple days left in the secondary transfer window in MLS. The secondary transfer window closes on Wednesday, August 2nd. So Rapids play Monday, the 31st of July at the earliest. HTHL will be podcasting on Tuesday, the 1st. So that would be, you know, there'd be 24 hours left in the window by the time that we're podcasting. As I think I've mentioned on the show earlier, there was we had some media availability with Porrick Smith, and he hinted that they were close to identifying a top target at another position of need. I believe that that is one of either a center back to complement Max Schu, or possibly someone else in the midfield, or possibly a winger. I think it's one of those three positions that they're looking to target. There's been nothing from a rumor mill standpoint in terms of international journalists, Fabrizio Romano, random, rumor from a local outlet that probably got something from the club that that current player is at that the Rapids are trying to acquire from. That doesn't mean that nothing's happening. Maybe the Rapids haven't reached out. Maybe they took a swing and nothing ended up happening. I'm not entirely sure. And, I've heard rumblings for weeks now that the Rapids are also looking at outgoings. And, you know, Porrick said in the media availability we had before the Portland or Houston game, I can't remember, where he said that they were just bitterly disappointed in what happened in that St. Louis game. And maybe some of those performances that you saw and the lack of the mentality and effort from players in that game at St. Louis City are an indication of players that they're looking to move on from. And realistically, if they're going to bring in somebody else, they need that, they're going to need to move somebody out from just from a senior roster standpoint, possibly international roster standpoint. So you look at, particularly if they bring in another center back, I think Danny Wilson or Lalas Abubakar could have some trade value within the league. Certainly a Brian Acosta or a Michael Barrios being out of contract could be veteran super sub rental options for a team looking to compete in the playoffs. And while he has been injured, I still think that there's value in what we know Jonathan Lewis to be domestically. And, you know, there's plenty of speed merchants who are super, super fast in MLS and not great at many other things who always had, you know, a club that was interested in them, like a Kakuta Mane or a Darren Maddox. And I would say Jonathan Lewis right now is better than what those players were at the height of their powers in Major League Soccer. So Jonathan Lewis could be into that conversation possibly as well. I'm just throwing out names of who I think could be in and around there. You know, that's not insider information or anything, listeners. But so I do think we could see some outgoings. We could see, I think, one more big swing from the Rapids. I think just getting Gutman and immediately addressing the issue at left back was a massive win. And if Rafael Navajo ends up being the best DP striker in club history, then I would say that window is a success in a vacuum or from a big picture perspective. But certainly, I think if those are the only two trades you're making and you're not, throwing out, you know, the bathwater and saving the baby in the form of getting rid of one of the center backs or one of the other players to then elevate a young player for an opportunity, I don't think that those two signings alone are enough to say in the context of this year that you are salvaging or at least making a serious attempt to get back into being competitive this year. So like how we saw last season where the Rapids traded away Marc-Anthony Kay, got a massive haul. Ultimately, that draft pick turned into Moise Bombito. I think the Rapids clearly have already won that trade. If you looked at what Mac did for Toronto and then now ultimately in him getting traded to New England Revolution, the Rapids won that trade. But then that was all to set up with having the GAM and then a little bit more flexibility to bring in another player. And as Brendan Plone and I reported later on that window, that ended up not working out. And so I think this window is already better than what last summer's window was. But certainly I don't think we can say it's a success in terms of trying to climb back into a playoff race or firmly putting the Rapids in a situation where you don't believe they're going to compete for the wooden spoon. I don't think just adding Andrew Gutman and then if Rafael Navajo comes in and is good as Adama Diamande was for LAFC in his first couple months in the league, you know, if he comes in and he does what Lionel Messi does and scores three goals and has two assists in his first two games, then I'll revisit that. But just those two players, that's not enough for me to say that in the context of saving and getting something out of this abomination of a season, that those two players on their own is enough to rectify this season. Building towards next year, absolutely. Saving 2023, not yet. If they take a big swing and get a midfielder or a center back or a winger, and that player ends up being of the same level of immediate impact of what Andrew Gutman has been, of what we believe Rafael could be as well, then I'll revisit that question. And I think we're probably looking at a success there. I think that does it. I do want to say, listeners, you've been listening to us on Spotify. We did have something change recently with our RSS feed that I will spend more time on in a future podcast. And that resulted in our Spotify going dark for about a week. We were able to resolve that. So if you're listening on Spotify, this episode should be fine. You got last week's episode a week late, and that you probably got it like late afternoon, early evening on Thursday the 28th. If you listen on another podcatcher, and there's been, and I guess if you're listening on another podcatcher and it's not updating well, then you're probably not listening to this right now. If you're listening to us on another platform because we've posted about it, but your personal favorite podcatcher has not been updating in the last week, 10 days, get in touch. We will read into that and then try and fix that for you. And then also for those who we've had your mailing addresses for the HDHL pint glasses for our Highliners. If you gave us that information more than 2 weeks ago and have not yet received your pint glass, get in touch with us as well. I'll send that over to our marketing and shipping department, aka Rabbi's House, and we'll see what's going on with that, see if he has tracking numbers or if he's actually sent stuff out as well. So we'll reach out to that as well. If you got an HDHL Substack subscription in the last week, there's a very real possibility that that pint glass has not even been mailed to us, even if you gave your mailing address to us for that pint glass a week ago at time of recording. Okay, I've been droning on for 34 minutes. This is way too long of a podcast for where we are, and it's almost midnight, so I'm going to get out of here. Listeners, you can follow us collectively on Twitter at LWSMattPollard, at Sucker_Rabbi, at Rapids96Podcast. Check out my and Mark's collective Rapids content. You can find me at burgundywave.com. Obviously, John Babiak still out there in New Zealand and soon to be on Australia as he is covering the Women's World Cup for us. And we've got a bunch of other great content that's not just game-by-game specific going on there. So if you want that, you want Rapids content, Burgundy Wave. And then obviously Mark is posting Backpass still to the Holding the Highline Substack, holdingthehighline.substack.com. You can view us in web format there. You can give us your email address and then get an email notification when something gets posted on there. And that's also where you can become a paid Highliner, $5 a month or $42 for the year. And that will get you the HTHL hashtag cheers to the six pint glass as well there. And then if you want to get in touch in long form, you can email us at rapids96podcast@gmail.com. Got a great Ask HTHL via email about my thoughts on the lineup for the Nashville game. And then you can also send us a Ask HTHL on Twitter using the hashtag Ask HTHL. Holding the High Line is not yet on Instagram or Threads or Blue Sky or Mastodon. We'll let you know when that happens. And if that's something that you are yammering for, feel free to let us know. And if we get like 10 people emailing and tweeting us and telling us in person that like you want us on another platform, we will take that into consideration. So I think that does it for us, folks. We'll see you next week, where hopefully we're not talking about the Rapids crapping the bed against Toluca in a sold out DSG that is all Toluca fans. And hopefully the Rapids did something in the transfer window by the time we next podcast. Peace.